Well, good morning to everyone, and it is a privilege, and I was noting and I was thinking as I was thinking about coming up here, how the Lord, over the years, has humbled me and worked in my heart, and how over the years when I began Hispanic work and resigned from the military, not knowing and doubting how I would even be able to speak Spanish enough to minister to Hispanics and preach to Hispanics, and then I became more accustomed to speaking in Spanish than I do in English. And so if I begin to speak Spanish today, you guys let me know, okay? And I may throw in a Spanish word or two, who knows? But it's a privilege here, and I do bring greetings from Dr. Larry Wendell, as he would love to be here and has ministered and been in Canada many, many years, and his dear wife Ruth, and over the last five or so years, I've had an honor and a privilege to know him and call him my friend, and his wife, and so we bring greetings from South Texas, and that's a long ways from Canada, and we've traveled many thousands of miles to get here, and probably have a few thousand to get back, but it's always really sincerely from my heart to be with God's people. This really does feel like home wherever I go, and can hear the hymn sung and get greeted by God's people and listen to God's word. It's just such a wonderful feeling and an encouragement from our hearts. These young people have sacrificed so much in their lives to even get to Rio Grande. And over the years, I say, well, I teach a little bit in the language school, some of the missionaries, how to speak Spanish and different things, and I often wonder if I don't gain more from my interaction with students than they ever gain from me. These young people are precious to us, that we take our responsibility at Rio Grande Bible Institute very seriously. And these young people are giving up so much, and they're surrendering their lives to the gospel message. Last year, I know for a fact that we had in the summer our students on five different continents in places that many of us would hesitate to go, places that are dangerous physically, hard to reach spiritually, all around the world. And so we sincerely appreciate, and so on behalf of our institution and Dr. Larry Wendell and even myself, because I have the blessing, I'm one of the vice presidents there, of seeing the generosity of God's people. Isn't it amazing that people from Canada get together with people in South Texas and we all partner together to reach people with the gospel? And Rio Grande Bible Ministry has been in existence for, in a couple years, will be 75 years of existence. And it's really all because God and His Holy Spirit has partnered people together, churches and people, and supported us. Just one of the highlights before I get into God's Word, I know that this church has interest in radio, and our radio aroma tower is fully functional, and it's been constructed 420 feet tall in a small town of Roma, about an hour and a half north of Rio Grande's campus, in a little community just north of Roma, Texas, right on the border, and it's now transmitting into Monterrey, which is the third largest city in New Mexico. And across the border in Miguel Alemán, which is really known as one of the most dangerous places really in the world. It's a very dangerous place to be. And so what a wonderful opportunity to impact lives with the gospel over the airways. It can't be stopped. It goes right into people's vehicles, right into people's homes. And so pray with us as we continue with that. The land is ours. We've built buildings. We've reinforced concrete buildings for our receivers and everything, and security fences, and the tower's in place, and we're broadcasting that signal as we speak as well. But it's an honor and a privilege to. I'm going to be reading today from Mark chapter 8, and you can start turning there. I encourage you today, before you leave, I won't spend a lot of time with the details. Many of you are acquainted with Rio Grande Bible Institute over the years. There's literature on the table in the back, and there's a very good new promotional video. And so if you would like to obtain that information, my business cards are there. The magazine, latest magazine's there. feel free to take anything on that table. It's yours for the taking. And if you would like to get further information, like get put on our magazine mailing list, just send me an email and I will make sure you get put on that list. But I will be reading today from Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. And we're going to be talking about something. And as I thought about this, and I kind of selected this message today because of what I'm involved with at Rio Grande Bible Ministries. We talk about sacrifice, and we talk about surrendering our lives, and we talk about giving our lives for the gospel. But I want to just take a few moments this morning and explore from God's Word what that really entails. What does that really mean to us as Christians if we are to give up our lives for the sake of the gospel? In both the United States and Canada, just in my lifetime, I don't know if your heart aches like mine aches as we see our countries and our societies get farther and farther away from the Lord. And what would it take for the Christian witness, for the Christian to live a life surrendered to the gospel? Let's look in Mark chapter 8 and look at verse number, beginning with verse number 34. And these will be the actual words of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we find in Mark chapter 8, verse number 34, these words. It says, "And when he had called the people unto him," Mark chapter 8, verse 34, "and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." I had the privilege of serving in my countries in the United States Armed Forces for many years. Resigned to follow what I was convinced was God's calling on my life. And I think because of that service, God had put in my heart quite the love, the deep love for military history and the sacrifice of, I'm sure, in both countries, of soldiers in Canada and the United States who have laid down their life for their other soldiers. I had the privilege not too long ago in a place, Charleston, South Carolina, on the coast of the United States, on a battleship. And if you go in there, the Congressional Medal of Honor Museum is housed inside that battleship. And I had the privilege of going and seeing who had actually received the highest honor that our country can give to one of our soldiers. And I read story after story, saw video after video, of literally thousands and thousands of soldiers who had laid down their very life for the love of their fellow soldiers. And it impacted me quite substantially to the point where for the rest of the day I couldn't get it around off of my mind. But there was one story in particular that impacted me. More recently, there was a private. And his name will be lost to history. And as you leave here, you won't remember his name. The only one that will remember his name possibly are his immediate family and those that served with him. But there was an Army private named Ross McGinnis, a very small young man who stood 6 feet tall and only weighed 136 pounds. You would look at him and you would say, what could he possibly do as a soldier? How could he participate in the armed forces? In Operation Iraqi Freedom, on December 4th, the year not that many years ago, 2006, while he was manning his machine gun inside a vehicle, the enemy threw a grenade inside the vehicle. And then this young private, 6 feet tall, just a mere 136 pounds, yelled to warn all of his fellow soldiers, but instead of jumping out of the vehicle and possibly saving his own life, he laid his body over that grenade, saving the lives of all his friends and dying in the process. And I can't get my mind around that. I can't wrap my mind around something like that. Why someone would be willing to lay down his life for the love of his friends. But then I began to think. You know, the Bible does say that no greater love has any man that what? Than he lay down his life for his friends. Our Bible tells us that God gave us his only son to die for us. So that why? So that we may live. But what do we have to do? The Bible talks about an adulterous and sinful generation. And very briefly and very quickly today, I want to look at the text and see and exhort and preach and see what it is as we as God's people must do to reach this adulterous and sinful generation. Jesus is telling the crowd, if any man would come after me. And I can't help but think when he says, come after me, that Jesus knew where he was going to go, did he not? Jesus knew he was going to the cross, and Jesus knew he was going to suffer a terrible death. And so he was telling these people, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his own cross and let him follow me. And he wasn't saying just follow him in good times and listen to his teachings and follow along with him and receive spiritual edification. He was talking possibly to his disciples, knowing very well that the majority of them would die similar deaths, that they would be tortured, that they would be killed, that they would be jailed. And he told them, follow after me. And when I look at the students whom I have the privilege and the honor to travel with, and sometimes mentor and sometimes be with, I can't help but think what they will have to encounter in their lives and what they have entered into and how they have willingly given up possibly other careers to come and study at Rio Grande Bible Ministries. The Bible reads in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. So really the bottom line when we read this text today is we must die to self. We must die in order that others might live. As Christ died and sacrificed his very being and very last breath on the cross, we are called to do the very same thing. Jesus is really saying that we must follow his example of the cross to bring others to him. Over the years, as a Hispanic church planter, my heart was broken many times. Not because of difficulties or emotional problems or family problems or everyday types of problems, but my heart was broken because I attempted to do what I thought the Lord wanted me to do as a church planter. I knew what to do because I had received all the training and probably some of the best seminaries in the United States, and I knew what to do possibly and strategize and all that. But that's not why my heart broke. I soon discovered that planting a church and winning people to Christ was a constant daily, if not hourly, battle. You see, my heart had to be broken. I had to be humbled. At some level in this world, I'll never reach total self-sacrifice, but at some level, I had to deny myself and follow what God had put in my heart. You see, this private, this young private, and you've probably forgot his name already, now adds his name to a long list. You could go see this long list of name after name after name after name of people who received this highest honor. And if you look down the list, you'd find that most of them are now either deceased or they died in the act of their heroism. But you see, those three friends, I guarantee you, will never forget his name. They'll live the rest of their life thinking back on that moment when that person laid down their life for them. And if they go to that museum, they won't be looking at a long list. They'll be looking for his name. And you see, that's what we do when we take the gospel message of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world. We lay down our life and we share the name of a Savior who died on the cross for us. And that's what we must do. We must die to self in order that others might live. But then Jesus says very quickly, he says, follow me. And what does follow me mean? If Jesus said to the people with him, follow me, it implies an action. We can have the right attitude and want to do things. We can be spiritual in our hearts, but until we do that one act of obedience and follow Jesus Christ, we'll never reach people with the gospel. Jesus' call was never partial to his disciples or his followers. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. Many followed Jesus out of curiosity. Many followed Jesus maybe just out of amazement for his miracles, but very few truly gave up all and obediently followed Jesus Christ. Matthew 8, excuse me, Matthew 8, 19 through 20 says, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. See, many of the followers of Jesus were partial followers, if that was at all possible. Jesus was saying, follow him to the cross. And many who would follow Jesus died a martyr's death. What would we say as God's people today if he stood in front of us? If he stood in front of us and he said those two simple words, follow me. You know, my heart's like anybody else's heart. What would be the first question that we'd want to ask Jesus? We'd want to ask Jesus this, I think. Well, where are we going, Lord, and when will we get back? You see, I've got plans. I've got a home to take care of. I've got a business. I've got a plan. Where are we going, and how are we going to get there, and when are we going to get back? Oh, and then there's the other question. How much does it pay? Will we have the finances? I mean, I've got to eat, Lord. I mean, I can't go over there and do that project or that ministry that you want me to do because I've got to eat, and after all, I have bills to pay. Let me take time off from work, and then we'll see how it goes. Oh, but Lord, you know, where will I live? I got to start thinking about that. I can't sleep in the street. I've got to have a bed, and I've got to have air conditioning, and I've got to have heat. Will there be internet where we're going? Will there be cable TV? We've got to consider all these things, Lord, before we decide whether we're going to go and serve or not. You know how we respond many times in our hearts? We respond constantly saying things like, oh, we just can't do that right now. We aren't able to do that. I'm too old. I have this illness. I have family to take care of. Oh, and on top of all that, I just don't have time. You see, I'm real busy. I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I've got to drive an hour to work. And by the time I get home at night, I've got to do the laundry. And then I got to eat. And then I got to go to bed. And I got to do it all again. I'm just too busy. We don't have the money, we say. We don't know how. But you know what the bottom line really is? We just don't want to be involved. We don't want to minister. We don't want to lay down our lives. We don't want to sacrifice. And I am at the top of that list. But you know what excuses really are? If we were going to wrap it all up and he said, follow me, and we put an excuse or a pretext out there for Jesus, those excuses are really just lies from our heart, aren't they? You're just saying to God, you know, you're not as important as my comfort. You're not as important as my career. You're not even as important as my air conditioning or my TV. You're saying to the man that laid down his life for you that you just don't want to be bothered. And that's what Jesus tells us. Follow me. And then the last thing, and we'll wrap up with this, is for the sake of the gospel. You see, it's worthwhile. What we do in this world is temporary. You know, the older I get, the more I realize how fleeting life is and how every breath is precious, and what we do in this world ends so very quickly. But what we do for the sake of the gospel lasts for all eternity. So what would we rather do? Would we rather spend our lives just gaining things that we can't hang on to? Would we rather spend our life giving our lives for the sake of the gospel? We must realize that the gospel is worth the cost. We can live our lives for many things, as I have and most of us in this room have, and just waste and waste again the opportunity that God has given us here on this earth to share that precious gospel message of Jesus Christ. So the question that I want to leave you with is, will you give up a comfortable retirement, a comfortable home, a rewarding career, your prestige, or even really just a little bit of your free time for the sake of the gospel? Are you willing to give your life for the sake of the gospel message of Jesus Christ? So pray for us as we travel. Pray for the life of each one of these precious students. There was about 150 of these students on campus last year, and we graduated 19. And we send them with our blessings to many different parts of the world and Latin America. Pray for us. Pray for our staff. Pray for our administration as we try to instill these biblical truths in the hearts of our students.